Friday, vacations are over.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I'm kind of probably glad that vacations are over at this point. We're pre-recording this and I'm about to head into 2 weeks of vacation. I just got back from a short vacation and I really like my life and I like getting away, but doing this much getting away in 1 month is...
It's like, couldn't you space it out so you have like smaller breaks? We were actually talking with one of our mentors and he was talking about like the 3-1 method. And actually, I believe that it's LMNT that does this. They do 3 weeks on like grind, you know, hard, and then 1 week off. And he was more so talking about like we were 3 weeks or 3 months, like really pushing and then having at least like a week to just like decompress. And yeah. I think that in the space that, you know, we work in and entrepreneurship on top of the demands emotionally and mentally that we have with being practitioners, it's something that we need to learn to adopt. So we're going to hopefully try to plan for that in the coming.
Yeah. And I think I heard something the other day that talked about how entrepreneurship is the number one space for self-development because you are just forced to face your flaws and your inadequacy. I hate to use those words because I feel like they're such aggressive words that are really negative connotations. But like the book that Liz and I are both reading, I think we have a different book though. It's like yours is a workbook and mine is. Yeah. So it talked this morning around having to constantly face yourself in the mirror and never stopping that action of reflection and working on improvement in areas that are hard for you or that you struggle with. And it was just one of the questions that I have written every morning since seeing it in the book is, are you the same person no matter who you're around? And I was like, oh gosh, that hits because no, I don't think I am always the same person. And, you know, I get influenced by environments and I think to certain extents, right? Like I'm not like I used to be, but in certain environments, I drink more than I want to because it's like, oh, it's a vacation and it's fun. But then I'm like, why do I do this? Why I regret doing this, you know? And so anyways,
I think that's too, like what we were talking about off air. So we had the women's conference at my church this past weekend and the whole premise of it was pursued. And just kind of like what we're going to talk about today, I think this resonates so well in terms of, are you constantly pursuing a better version of yourself? Because the reality is everything is always changing. Like everything is always evolving. And so are you evolving as a person to adapt to, you know, who it is that you truly desire to become? So, you know, whether that is in your business, right? Leveling up, hiring people, you know, getting help, delegating a little bit more, pushing yourself out of that comfort zone of, I can just do it all myself because sometimes in entrepreneurship, you know, that's hard. This is like your baby. But at the same time, it could just be like, if you're a client and you're thinking about like your health, some people will sign up and do, you know, a 3-month program, a 6-month program, whatever. They put this like timeline on things. And then at the end, they kind of just like go back to maybe old ways or don't really fully embrace continuing to evolve and continuing to improve. And so I think it is, you know, are you the person in all these environments? No, I don't think anybody truly ever is. I don't know that I would, I have to be curious. I'm with the workbook. I like it because it has little activities for you to do. So I go a little slower because I sit and I kind of think through that and, you know, kind of ponder on things, but it is true. I mean, we are all influenced by environment. Heck, yeah. I'm influenced by, you know, environment and the people, you know, that you're around. And I think that's a lot of things in terms of just what are you talking about? What are they talking about? Are you shopping differently? Are you eating differently? It could be a variety of things. But yeah, just continuing to think about, you know, pursuing yourself, pursuing your relationships. I think about this in terms also of, obviously, they were talking about a godly relationship, which really resonated with me, pursuing like God's vision for your life. And wow, did that, like, I have so many notes just from that one talk, who actually happens to be a girl that went to college. We didn't know each other then. We had mutual friends, but I caught her on Sunday and I was like, I sent you a friend request because we have mutual friends. But, you know, so many people will go to church or like be in small groups or, you know, whatever that they do, that their involvement, but do you truly have a pursued relationship with God yourself when nobody else is around? So that was one thing. I think the other thing that I would relate this to is like relationships with your spouse, right? Are you continuously pursuing each other in the way of, yeah, you're not going to be the same people that you were when you first started dating, especially, you know, kids and life and all those things. But do you continue to pursue growing together in your relationship? You know, doing things that bring you closer together instead of getting caught in the mundane. So a lot of that, I think, will wrap in perfectly with what we're going to talk about today in terms of what makes practitioners great, and then also the mistakes that people make when they're choosing a practitioner. So this is twofold for all of you who are listening. This is that we're going to speak a little bit on the business mindset here. If you are a practitioner, or you're wanting to become a practitioner or entrepreneur, whatever. And also, if you are somebody who's looking to work with a practitioner, what are the things that you should be looking for, the values, the characteristics, and what are the mistakes that people make when they are choosing who to work with?
Yeah. So one of the biggest things that I think we had this discussion earlier this week around what makes a really good practitioner is that they've done their own work. And when you get into the functional space, like, you will see this. Most of the people in this space that are coaching, mentoring, whatever it might be, have been through their own health journey. And I don't see this in the conventional space as much. And so, like, I think it makes it a little bit more empathetic and understanding, because the people in the functional space have probably overcome what you're trying to overcome, because that's also who they are speaking to, right? That's why there's specializations in this space a lot of times. Like, there's people that specialize in hypothyroidism and Hashimoto's. There's people that specialize in gut health, right? There's people that specialize in metabolic health. And I think any of the really good practitioners out there know it's everything. They know that it's not just the thyroid you need to work on. They know it's not just the gut you have to work on. They know that it's a full body system that has multiple 11 different systems that all work together, and they need to all be addressed when you're healing. So that's number one when you're looking for a practitioner. Like, they should not be dogmatic. They should know that the whole body works together, and it is not just thyroid supplements that help a thyroid, right? It's typically immune system and the gut and the liver, gallbladder, and like all of the systems work together, but they've walked the walk. They've done their own struggle. They probably are still in, because everyone's on this never-ending health journey of optimization and, you know, working through periods of high stress. Because one of the big things I see a lot of times is that people can be asymptomatic when there's not high stress, but then when there's a ton of stress, they're like, everything falls apart, right? No, we want to create bulletproof. We want to create a system and a situation physically and physiologically to where you can handle high stress periods and maybe not thrive through them. Who thrives through a high stress period, but like, you get through it and you are not completely where you started from, because it undid everything. Cause technically things weren't that great and healed fully in the first place. Right. And so we want a practitioner that understands how hard the heart is. Like, they've been through the times where they're doing everything and nothing's working. And they've had to troubleshoot. They've had to go through horrible symptoms or feeling like you're at a rock bottom or whatever it might be. And they've had to do the work themselves. Because when you've been through that, you have the empathy and the sympathy, and you can also explain what it's like to be there. And for someone that's there in that moment struggling, there's nothing better than feeling seen. Mm. And I truly don't know if you can create that in a relationship unless you've been there.
Yeah. And I would even say, like, if it's not that you're at rock bottom, like feeling horrible, can't get out of bed, you know, but they have done the work in terms of the gut testing, right? They've done stool tests, they've done hormone testing, and they've run some of those protocols to really, truly optimize. Because the reality is most people have something that they can work on, right? In terms of, you know, maybe you don't have crazy symptoms, but you get a stool test back and it's showing that there are imbalances. So there's always, especially in the world that we live in, ways to optimize. So if you're listening right now and you're a practitioner, you're like, yeah, but like, I haven't gone through like a major, even for example, like weight loss journey, because I've never really struggled with my weight. That doesn't mean that you can't help individuals who need to lose weight, right? Or who do struggle with their weight. But you also need to have had some experience on your own doing some of those protocols. What is it like to go into a cut phase and feel hungry? What is it like to go through maybe some fasting phases and feel, you know, the true autophagy kick in? Like, I can tell you all the first time, and I know Becca can relate to this too, that I did some of the deeper fast. I was like, whoa, the next day I had to cancel the calls on my calendar and just chill out, because the body was going through a lot, and I was, you know, really, really tired and just wouldn't have shown up as my best mentally and emotionally for my clients that day. Thankfully, that's not happened, you know, again, unless I've pushed it a little bit too far. But I think that, yes, they need to have experience that they have tried some of these things on, you know, themselves, that they're not just like writing protocols. And within that, too, understanding, and maybe this is where, you know, we have a lot of people who will talk to some of our clients before they, you know, sign on about their experience. Understanding that it's a truly individualized approach. Like, I think that one of the top mistakes people make is they're looking for, you know, the cheapest option. They're looking for a ton of promises, which I think these are red flags, in my opinion. And I understand from the consumer side, right? Like, for some people, the financial constraint is truly there for them, right? And I understand that. But at the same time, like, we also know that when you go with the cheapest option, like, you're probably going to get less than stellar, you know, maybe results. And, you know, within that, when you are looking for somebody, like, knowing that they have proof of, you know, results and being able to see that is really important, and that they don't have this dogmatic approach. Everyone just who has, for, you know, example, on a stool analysis, H. pylori pop up or a SIBO, you know, trend pop up or a parasite pop up, that it's just the same cookie cutter protocol. Because the reality is, I have, you know, so many clients coming in that have similarities on their testing, but they, as a bio individual person, are so different, and what's going on with their environment internally and externally, including those stressors and their diet and how they're presenting with symptoms, is all so different. That's going to change my protocol pretty drastically, right? Like, yes, we know that there are people out there who buy these like 10-day parasite cleanses, heavy metal detox cleanses. We can talk about that another day. Or they just do like a cell core, like Parakit, for example, and that's how they address it. Even within cell cores, you know, education and training, each type of parasite is addressed a bit differently. And it's not just that Parakit. So I think it's important to understand that that person needs to have experience, but they also need to have experience with tailoring and customizing protocols, because when they can do that, it gives you better results, but also they're able to explain to you why they're doing, you know, all the things that they're doing.
Yeah.
And I think within all of this too, from the practitioner side, if you've gotten a certification and they taught you a dogmatic approach, they taught you if this, then that, okay, maybe that certification was good in some ways for you, but that is not the real world. Like, textbook doesn't happen in the real world very often. So I would say to you, you need to be in constant pursuit of understanding more about the body, more about those complex situations that things aren't working the way that they should. Now, what do I do? Because you won't be able to serve people in the way that they need. I mean, truly, like, people are in such need of bio individual protocols, and we don't get that in our conventional medicine, you know, sick care model. And even with the functional medicine side, as we've kind of talked about in other podcasts, we get people coming to us who have laundry lists of supplements. They saw the doctor once, they didn't even really fully understand their test, and then they don't see that doctor for 3 months. There's a lot of things that can happen in 3 months, heck, in 3 weeks, right? So that's also like how we try to serve our clients differently, is that there is more touch points. There is more one-on-one, you know, a way that they can get in communication with their practitioner in between calls when things maybe need to be adjusted, or we need to pull back, or we need to set the, you know, put the gas pedal a little bit harder, whatever that looks like. So I think just remembering that you're going to get what you pay for things. And it's a lot more than just looking at a test result. It's really about the whole person, all 11 symptoms, mm-hmm. or excuse me, systems, and then also the symptoms.
Yeah. And I can say firsthand, like, when I went through my first certification that was truly like a functional certification after WellFits, Liz and I went through that together. They had at the end, here's how you write a protocol, here's what you would put in place based on X, Y, and Z, and, like, you know, fictional situations, right? When I started trying to implement that with clients, it worked maybe 40 to 50% of the time. Mm-hmm. And so when it didn't work, I was forced to do more research, dig deeper, ask more questions. And if you are a client that is looking for a practitioner, ask those things. Be like, how long have you been doing this? You know, how many people have you worked with? Because those really hard clients that Liz, myself, our team work with, they've taught me more than anyone, any certification, because I'm forced in a good way. I love all of our clients, but like you're forced to figure things out. A practitioner in a certification that has just finished something isn't going to have that knowledge. Experience trumps everything in this world of functional medicine, because the more you experience clients and things not going how you expect them to go, the more you start to develop tools in your toolkit of what works. Oh, I've seen this type of client before. This is what I did last time. I'm going to do that before things get bad, right? I'm going to get ahead of the curve. I'm going to get ahead of the game. And then you start understanding client profiles. And yes, there's still individualization based on lifestyle and all of those things. But like you start to develop so many of these tools in your toolkit that truly we've gotten to a place where I'd say 99% of the cases that come to us, I'm like, I feel comfortable with this, because we've seen so many nuances now at this point. We've been in this for years and we've worked with hundreds, if not thousands of cases, or at least had our eyes on thousands of cases. And yes, there's always those ones, right? But at the end of the day, that experience has been my teacher. Our mentors have been my teacher. Certifications are great. They give you that foundational, that baseline. But if you're working with a practitioner that like just finished a new certification, understand you're going to be a little bit of a guinea pig. And if you've been to practitioners, you've struggled in the past, you've had all of those issues and they still haven't been addressed, make sure the person you are deciding to work with at this point has experience and can speak to that experience. And when you are working with a practitioner, a huge thing that I think you need to be able to identify and feel, they can explain things to you. Because an experienced practitioner will be able to explain maybe why you're having symptoms. And maybe why something hasn't worked up until this point, and why a test is not just X, Y, and Z, and then we treat the test. Why it's so much bigger. Like we do GI map testing, we do Dutch testing, we do all of those things, but you never just treat the test. You have to understand the symptoms, the profile of the person, their lifestyle, what else is going on, because that is how you need to address these complex cases. And when you're working with a practitioner, you should be able to ask them hard questions, and you should ask them hard questions. Like, challenge the person you are working with. Make sure that they are knowledgeable enough to explain things. And if they can't, that they're going to go and find the answer for you. Because we don't know everything. Liz and I never, well, I'll never know everything. But I know enough at this point to be able to at least give part of the answer and say, I don't know this exact piece. I'm going to go get an answer for you because I know X, Y, and Z, or this person or this expert in this area that I will be able to get something from to be able to assist you. And so you have to be able to identify that. And that is why the process of, you know, hiring a practitioner or working with someone should be a step-by-step process of being able to talk to people that know, either talk to that person directly or talk to their team enough to be able to understand like, hey, this is my case. My case is complex. I've worked with other people. How are you going to be different? Right?
Yeah. And I think another big piece here, and this is again, for practitioners as well as clients, we have to be able to step back and look at the big picture. I say this so many times to some of our practitioners is like, let's take a step back. Let's look at this 10,000 foot view. Because so many people will be like, I just want to get a test. I just want to see what it says. Okay, but the big question that I always ask when I'm looking at test results is, why is this happening? What about this individual's terrain or internal environment is allowing the infection to take hold? Because again, with the immune system, we are adaptive. Like we have developed over years to be around mold and mycotoxins, to evolve with parasites. I mean, all of these things are normal within our environment. What is not normal is that your body is in such a place of distress that it's not able to fight and defend and keep things in balance and keep things in check. And so just because, for example, you got a GI map and maybe some blood work, the practitioner has to be able to see the bigger picture and say, what have we not yet gotten to, right? Like we can pick up mold on, you know, some of our tests just by looking at certain markers. And okay, we can look at symptoms and we can take visual contrast screening and we can take, you know, questionnaires and things like that. But so many times people aren't asking that bigger question. They're just saying, whatever this test says is how I'm going to address things. Well, I'm going to address somebody that has high H. pylori and who is asymptomatic much differently generally than I'm going to address somebody who's very symptomatic, you know, with H. pylori. So I think they have to be able to see the big picture. And then a huge one is this is twofold. How many times we've gotten clients from different practitioners, functional doctors, naturopaths, whatever, that have gotten a test and a protocol of supplements and nothing else. Diet diversity is huge. Food is medicine. We had food before we had all the medicine. So we have to think about that. Is it enough by itself? Not always, no. But we need diet diversity. We need to make sure that diet is being managed. And, you know, I'm going to say this for people who are even maybe gone through our programs. If you don't want to adhere to the diet, you're not going to get stellar results. Because we're manipulating the types of foods that we're consuming. We're manipulating the amount of fibers, the amount of, you know, things that we're putting in terms of colors and antioxidants for very specific reasons. We're manipulating when we do fasting protocols, you know, certain days where we are adjusting those macros a certain way and then coming back out into feasting. And so kind of really changing metabolic pathways here is very intentional, especially for people that have, you know, a lot of blood sugar dysregulation, which is almost everybody, say like 95%. So that's one. And then the last thing that I want to add in here is the central nervous system work and stress management, right? How you think about yourself, the language that you use, how you talk with yourself. Because I have clients, and Becca does too, who are very, very ill. And they are willing to do anything and everything to get out of the space so that they can feel better, right? They can take care of their kids. They can, you know, go to work or travel or just have the energy to do things. And then we have other people who, like, one or two symptoms is like so detrimental to them that, you know, I understand it's very bio-individual and how these people feel these things, but they could be in a situation where one is talking really positively and then healing much faster. And then the one that has, you know, continuously negative thoughts that's keeping them stuck in this space. So you have to build trust with your body. You have to, you know, basically pour into yourself every day. And sometimes that's going to feel fake, right? It's not going to feel that you truly believe this yet. But if you do it time and time again, day in and day out, and you're doing the habits and the behaviors and all the things, this is really where it comes down to trust and building trust with yourself and building trust with food that I feel that this is safe, right? This is nourishing to my body. I'm thankful for this. Instead of saying, oh God, this always bloats me, but I'm going to try it again. And nope, of course I got bloated, right? You have to be able to get your nervous system into a little bit more of this calm state, rest and digest, where things can happen, healing can occur. Because if you constantly stay stuck in this fight or flight shutdown mode, your cells hear that. This is what we call cell danger response, where your body inherently knows that if we start to release things, if we start to let the toxins out, I'm going to get sick. My immune system can't handle that right now, so I'm not going to do that. Then we're going to stay stuck. And so 80% of it comes from, you know, obviously the functional work, but 20% of it absolutely does come from the person being able to do some of these things in their day to day, whether that's breathing, it's mantras, it's courses. We like Primal Trust. That's a really cheap one. I just did a live with Dr. Pedre. He's a great gut doctor. We chatted last week on his Instagram channel. And he really, like, even as a gastro, you know, enterologist, he believes that this is so true, that people have to use positive language. They have to be intentional about how they are thinking and how they're speaking to themselves. Or you can have the best protocol on the planet, things that should work, and it's not working.
Yeah. I think there's a big difference between pain and suffering. Mm. And that Leila Hormozi just did a podcast on this. And the way that she explains it is, you can be in a place of pain to where you're dealing with symptoms, you're struggling, things you've tried have not worked, and that's pain. Suffering is being in that place and getting frustrated and angry and negative and oh, woe is me. This is never going to get better. And a lot of food sensitivity issues, I believe, are no longer a food issue. They are a mental issue that you have now created such a hype around that food that even prior to consuming that food, your nervous system is not in a place that it can receive it. And so because we maybe had negative reactions for a period of time, and maybe it started out as a gut issue, it started out as an inflammatory issue, it has now turned into a nervous system issue. And until we get the we can heal the gut, we can do those things, until you get the nervous system under control, you're not going to be able to fully resolve any of that. And it's the hardest piece, because a lot of people, it's so subjective that you don't have a check the box all the time. You don't have, oh, I took this pill, so I know it's doing it, right? It's no, oh, I have to turn internally. I have to turn to my mind. I have to turn to my thoughts, my emotions, and I have to work on fixing those, because they will 100% limit you in this journey and in this process. And so when you are looking for a practitioner, I think another thing here is that they are not so dogmatic on one thing. It is the nervous system. Mm-hmm. It is the gut, the immune system, the foods, the supplementation, the lifestyle habits, right? It's everything. And like Liz was mentioning earlier, I cannot with people that come in and they were like, I've taken these supplements in the past or I've done this protocol. I'm like, well, what else did you do? Like, did they give you a diet protocol that was really specific? Did it change? Did they give you lifestyle factors to work on? Did they give you, you know, nervous system things to work? Like, what else was done in this process? Because of course it didn't work. Like, there's so many more layers to this, right?
And sorry to interrupt here. It's like a half protocol. It's like a halfsies, yes. Right? Yes. Because they're like, okay, well, I had H. pylori, so I took these three things. All right. Well, when we get down into the dirty and the nitty gritty with H. pylori, and we need to do another podcast on that because I have a lot of people asking about like reoccurring and H. pylori, I would say H. pylori and SIBO, man, they're beast. Because for example, let's say you have a GI map and you had H. pylori show up and you started addressing it. Okay. Well, not only are you addressing the bacteria with herbs that are known to help eradicate that, you need to be addressing biofilms. You need to be addressing, you know, the liver and gallbladder and bile, the gut liver access. We talk a lot about that. We need to be addressing the lining of the gut, like keeping support in place there. We need to be addressing stomach acid because why does H. pylori thrive in low acidic environments? And so we need to make sure that we're doing all those pieces. And then we're asking the bigger question too of how is this showing up? If the person has heartburn, GERD, acid reflux, yep, we're addressing the upper GI with some calming, soothing agents to repair the esophagus and all the things. And so you can see there very quickly just those things that I rattled off, not even including, you know, thyroid, and if you're constipated or you got diarrhea or like all these other things that we have to consider, how that could be such a minimal protocol. And then what happens? Mm-hmm. Maybe you felt better when you were taking eradication agents. We see this a lot for cases like SIBO, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. They feel better when they're on the rifaximin, an antibiotic there, right, for SIBO. They feel better when they're on some of the eradication agents, less bloating and things like that, because that antimicrobial is doing the job that maybe bile's not been able to do in the small intestine, and it's keeping that bacteria in check. But at the same token, it's not necessarily resolving the root issue, right? And so when they come off of it, they don't feel good again, mm-hmm. or they relapse. And particularly with both of these types of bacteria, if you don't address the entire terrain, you will relapse in most cases. And I would also say for somebody who's had H. pylori and then you retested and you saw that it was a higher level, well, sometimes that can be because certain things weren't caught due to biofilms. So you start to break down those biofilms. Now you realize, wow, that H. pylori infection was actually greater than initially, you know, thought. So there's just so much that goes into that. And I just can't agree. It's so frustrating for us. Like, we know that functional medicine is an investment. When you're doing and you're making this investment, like if I'm going to make an investment in something, I want to know that I've crossed the T's and I've dotted mm-hmm. the I's. Like, I don't want just a generic little kind of protocol.
And you want proof. You know, I think a couple last things here that you want to look for when you're hiring or considering working with a practitioner is they have proof. Like, do they have proof of clients' success and those clients maintaining success and what the type of success is that you're looking for, right? Every practitioner works probably with a slightly different population. And so is there someone like you that they've helped, right? Where is that proof? Is it social proof, right? Is it on their website? Whatever it might be, can they talk through a case like yours, you know? And then, like I mentioned, the dogmatic aspect, like if someone that you are considering working with, all they talk about is keto, all they talk about is, you know, a certain supplement, all they talk about is a certain workout style, like be careful because everyone in this world is bio-individual. Like Liz already talked about, you need an individualized approach. And yes, do most of our clients go through somewhat of a similar process? Yes, because we know that process works. But within that process, it is very individualized to each person, right? If someone coming in that has a history of heart attacks or cardiometabolic dysfunction is going to be very different than someone that has a history of cancer or someone that has a history of SIBO or someone that has a history of, you know, PCOS or secondary amenorrhea or whatever it might be, right? All of those people are going to be addressed slightly differently. We will take them through the same systems approach, right? We need to address liver, gallbladder, and detoxification pathways, make sure that those are nice and open. We need to address the gut. We need to address blood sugars and hormone balancing and maintenance. But within those systems, everyone's individual approach is very unique to them, right? The diet that they're following, the amount of calories they might be taking in, the types of foods that are in their diet, the supplementation that may be additional to what we typically use as like a general foundation, right? All of that is going to be very tailored. And so if someone is out there saying, everyone needs metformin, everyone needs a probiotic, everyone need like, no, everyone does not need those things. Some people need those things. And so that blanket style communication, very big red flag for me. And if they have been talking about the same things forever, also a red flag to me, because they are not then learning. They are not then out there searching for better processes, searching for better systems, searching for better ways to help their clients. Liz and I are very clear on this podcast. Something I talked about 2 years ago, I probably have very different beliefs on now, because I have learned more, because I have experienced more. And that is why we've talked about GLP-1s or peptides or HRT in different lights over the years. And you can go back, listen to our podcast 3 years ago. We'll probably sound a whole heck of a lot different. That's good.
And we will in 3 years from now. We will
3 years from now. And hopefully it will look a little bit less extremely different, because we'll be compounding on the things that we've learned. But like at the end of the day, someone that is constantly saying, no, that doesn't matter, that doesn't matter, it all matters.
Mm-hmm. It all matters. And so just for the title of this podcast, the number one mistake people make when choosing a practitioner, I think we have to end it here. You're looking for a guarantee. Mm. We used to get this at our gym. Preach. Can you guarantee that I'm going to lose weight, that strength training isn't going to make me bulky, all these things, right? Can you guarantee that this is going to work for me? And I love the way that, you know, we've learned from Alex Hormozy for a long time, the way that, you know, he shares it is that I can't guarantee, because I can't guarantee how you're going to show up. That's the way I say it to people, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I can't guarantee that you're going to follow the things that I am recommending that you follow. I also can't manage everything in your life. We try to manage as much as possible with our clients, but we have to understand that life is not linear. Nothing is linear. Healing is not linear. Weight loss is not linear, right? There's always ebbs and flows. I cannot predict that next Tuesday, your boss is going to send you an email with a massive project that he's going to put onto your plate, and how that stress is going to impact you, right? Because that's not part of the picture right now. So we have to be able to be nimble and to ebb and flow. And sometimes it's taking a very, you know, honest conversation that we only can do so much. We have to control the controllables. But are you going to be willing to control everything that you can, even in high stress times? Because the stars are never going to align for us to never have stress, right? Your kids are never going to just cooperate with you because you told them, mommy has a stressful day today. Can you just listen to me? They don't understand what that means, and they don't care, right? So we can't guarantee anything, because we can't guarantee how you're going to show up, what we're going to uncover, right? When we start to peel back the layers of the onion, we've got several stories within our practice where people come in and they're like, oh, it's just this constipation. It's just this bloating. It's just this, you know, symptom or whatever. And then we start to really look at testing and we're like, no, there's autoimmune activity going on here. We are really high in blood sugars, pre-diabetic, insulin resistant. The liver is really, you know, struggling with inflammation. Like we peel back the layers in the onion and we're finding out all of these things that we have to correct that might take a lot longer than, let's say, 6 months.
I think what you can guarantee as a practitioner, if you're a good practitioner, you can guarantee, I will give you the tools, I will give you the knowledge, and I will give you the support to help you through this process. I cannot guarantee a timeline on this process, because again, I am not going to be able to control every aspect of your life or how you choose to show up or not show up. And I also cannot guarantee how your body may or may not respond. I can go off of my experience and what I typically see. But again, sometimes people surprise us. Sometimes things go way better than we thought they were going to go. And sometimes they do not go way better than we think they're going to go, right? And so we can guarantee you some things. But if you are finding and asking for a timeline guarantee or an X amount of weight guarantee lost, or a I want you to make sure I fix these symptoms in the next 3 months guarantee, do not hire a practitioner that guarantees you that, because they are lying to your face. They're trying to get another client. It's true. Like, you need someone that is going to be honest with you. I will be 100% honest and transparent with my clients, whether it's what they want to hear or not. And that is the type of client I want to work with too. I don't want to work with someone that makes me give them a guarantee, because guess what? That person's also probably going to hope that I heal them. It is not my job to heal a client. It is my job to support them, to give them the tools, to give them the knowledge, and to help guide them on this process and make it a shorter process for them than if they were to do it on their own, mm-hmm. and a more intelligently laid out process. But if someone is expecting a guarantee, that person also probably is going to be the victim. They want someone to save them.
Or to blame when things don't go according to plan, right? Like, when we're not God, we try to, you know as much as we possibly can, and, you know, always be in pursuit of furthering education and more tools in the toolbox to make this process easier and to course correct faster. But again, if you're there on the other side, doubting, negatively talking to yourself all the time, like dealing with really, you know, just crazy situations in your work environment, in your home environment that constantly leaves you in this state of stress, and you're not willing to slow down, you're not willing to do some of the other more rest and digest parasympathetic work or some of the past trauma work, right? There's a lot to be said about cell danger response being due to past traumas that people don't want to address. And so you just kind of, your cells, think of them as just like clamming up, like a little turtle, right? He doesn't want to stick his head out. He doesn't want to move on. And that is really hard. And so we've talked this, you know, before, like the Body Keeps Score. There's a lot of resources out there, again, that are even further than what we can provide within a program. But we wanted to do this podcast because I think so many practitioners out there also ask us, like, how do you learn all of these things? Like, how do you get all this experience? And it is having mentors that are smarter than us and investing thousands of dollars into that, continuing to invest in, you know, furthering education, going to conferences, watching webinars online, like putting ourselves in rooms with people who are experts on different topics so that we can continue to evolve and to learn and to serve better. So if that's you from a practitioner standpoint and you're not doing that, I would really challenge you. Why is it okay for you to continue practicing and not be learning? Because we see that in conventional medicine, how well that served us. It takes 18 years on average for new research to hit the desk unless the person's really intentional about going after, you know, other solutions and seeking that information out. I can't imagine. Like, I would be a real crappy, crummy practitioner if I wasn't continuing to learn and to evolve, because there's so much that we are still learning from the science, right? And so that's the practitioner side there for you. And then for people who are looking for practitioners, right, I think you've gotten the point here that it is going to be a robust, especially if we're dealing with an acute situation, right? A chronic pain or things that have gone on for a long time. Like, you can't just tell your body that, hey, I'm not going to be an asshole like I have been the last 30 years of my life now, so you just need to cooperate. Come on, right? You literally can't do that. Like, your body is like, okay, well, cool, but then we got to play catch up here. So for example, if somebody's like been super, super stressed out and they've just burnt themselves to the ground in terms of, you know, cortisol or, you know, hormones are really low, like, or Becca
constipation
shares.
Constipation chronically. You know how much damage the vagus nerve has now? You know how much else is going on? The muscles have atrophied. Like, there's so many things when it comes to chronic constipation, and Liz can talk to this better than I can even, but like, it's such a bigger thing than, oh yeah, it'll be better in 2 weeks. Not a chance.
Or just take a laxative, right? Like,
not a chance.
Yeah. So we just wanted to do this because I really feel that people need to just know the truth. And we are always really honest, even with the whole process of you're talking to our team about our program, they're always going to be honest. We're not here to sell you on anything other than the truth and how we are going to be able to support and guide you on this journey. And with all of that said, we are going to be doing a live event this September. We're super, super excited about it. It's going to be Own It, the Women's Health Summit for metabolic health, functional health. We've got some amazing speakers coming. We're going to have tickets available. Link is in the show notes for that. By the time this airs, all of that will be up and running. And if this is like, man, I want to be around people who have walked this journey, who are the experts, who are doing all the things, we're bringing them all here to the Chicagoland area. It'll be in Arlington Heights. So check the link for, check the show notes for the links. And we hope to see you guys live with us at the the Fit Mom Summit. I don't know. We're calling it Own It and all the things on the page, but I'm just going to keep referring it to as Fit Mom Live because you're going to come see our whole team at Fit Mom and Becca and I, and it's going to be very intimate. 75 people is the maximum really that we're thinking that we want to have with us because we want to spend some time with people who are coming, flying, and traveling in from around the world. So all that said, have a great Friday and we'll be back on Monday.